In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Just to thank those who came and decorated the church on Friday. These things just don't happen. It's because people are dedicated and they serve. So those people who came and decorated St. Andrew's ready for Christmas, thank you so much. And for all those who took part in our carol service here last night, we had a full church. So again, thank you for coming. It was wonderful. Our reading from Micah, can you look at it? It's on your sheet. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small, this is where we get the hymn and the carol, O little town of Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be my ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. So this is a wonderful prophecy from Micah. You see that word labor, she who in labor bears a son, a prophecy of the coming of Christ. And hence today we've lit our fourth candle for Saint Mary, who was the God-bearer. Incredible, she carried God within her. And we must never forget that. And the yes that she said to the angel when she realized that she would be the God-bearer, she said, let it be according to your will. It's probably the most important yes that has ever been said. Yes, let it be. There's a lovely line here. It says, labor. I want to give you two words today on this fourth Sunday of Advent to think about. Many translations don't have the word labor there. They have an old-fashioned word that goes like this, travail. 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 You see, in order to change things about, in order for us to reach the end of the story, there is a travail, and it's like labor. It's a bit like giving birth. So today, as we gather and we prepare for Christmas, perhaps you've come to church this morning and your family, your immediate circumstance, means that you are going through a travail. It doesn't seem very good yet. I can't remember the number of times when I sort of said to myself, you know, it doesn't feel like Christmas for some reason. A travail. As we think about the people of Magdeburg, who can imagine the circumstances of a joyful Christmas market? And suddenly somebody drives into the crowd, kills 9+ people, and 200 people are seriously injured, are in critical care today. That is a travail. Perhaps you've labored to get yourself together this Christmas. Perhaps there is so much in the news that gives you a real heartache, and you're anxious. Maybe you're just disturbed by the weather. You can't cope with the dark days and the rain and the gloom. Oh, we long for a bit of sunshine. By the way, we've passed the winter solstice, so we will be getting lighter now. About 2 minutes a day, we're on our way. Life can seem very difficult. But the wonderful thing about the Christian story is that we must learn what it is to embrace the travail. the labor. It's part of the story. Change doesn't come about easy. And ultimately, the darkness will not overcome us. Hear that. Ultimately, the darkness will not overcome us. We will not be ultimately overwhelmed. But nevertheless, Micah says, we've got to go through the travail. So we stay with it. This time last year, I went through a very deep travail as I visited my sister in ITU and she was at death's door. We prayed and you prayed as a family. And all of this year we have been through a travail. But now we see her at home and she's going out and she is more radiant and she's literally come back to life again. She is celebrating and is a joy. Wow, this year we've been through a travail. There have been things in the news this week even about the Archbishop of York, and it makes my heart sink. And the resignation of the Archbishop of Canterbury, wonderfully devout man, holy man. It's called a travail. Maybe there's illness at home. Travail. There's a lady here in our church called Pam Story. So instrumental. She was warden. Gave so much to the ministry here. Kept staff friends going with a very strong team around her for years. She's in her demise now and ill. Saw her in Northwick Park and now back at home for Christmas. Dear Pam is going through a travail. But wonderfully, the Christian story is hopeful. The darkness will not overcome us. We hold on to that. You think of the story of Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Think of her travail. A sword will pierce your heart also, said Simeon to her. And then being at the foot of the cross. And then at the empty tomb. And then with those early Christians, if there was ever a mother who went through a travail, here she was. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. The God-bearer. She knew travail. Another word to think about today. It's the word haste. Haste. Now, I'm sure that you are full of haste. There's lots of things that you may have to do to get things together for your family for Christmas. But I want to introduce you to another haste. Lovely word. Travail, haste. It says in our Luke's Gospel, Mary went with haste to be with Elizabeth. I've been reading a book, it's on my shelf. It's a very popular book at the moment. It's written by an American pastor. It's been a great seller, and it's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And the book suggests that we've got to eliminate hurry from our life because it's a major distraction and it breaks our relationship with God. And the book is right, but there's a rider, there's a qualifier. Sometimes we have to be hasteful about certain things. So whatever you're distracted to today, let me encourage you with haste, like Mary as she goes to be with Elizabeth, because she realized that it's going to be part of a wonderful story, which is God's salvation story. She goes with haste quickly to a far country. She's got to be with her. Because she knows that things are changing. There's a new story that's beginning in human history. So she goes with haste. Let me encourage you, whatever you're distracted with and whatever you're preoccupied with, whatever causes you to be hurried today, to go back to these stories, to ponder on them, to think about them. Last night, in an hour-long service, we had the story of our salvation as we read through the scripture from the Old Testament through to the promise of Jesus to his coming. It was wonder to ponder on these things, because this is what gives us life. You will not find life in social media. You will not find life even in politics or economics. You will not find life in the accumulation of things. The only place ultimately you will find life is in this story. It is what sustains you. It will sustain your family and your future, if only you knew it. And so many of us are given to haste to the wrong things in our life, and it makes us unhappy. We find no peace. But chase after these things. Run after it, like Mary runs after Elizabeth. Go for it, go for it, go for it, more than anything else. I just can't believe the time in my life when I was just preoccupied with my career and obsessed with cars. I can't even remember now all the cars I've had, but Margaret used to say, "You're obsessed with your car." I went with haste after the wrong things, can you believe? But run with haste to this story. If you've got a Bible at home, I pray you have. I pray you have. Open up the book and go back to these stories as we read them today. Go back to them, because this is what will sustain you in the end. This is what you need when you come to your last breath. As I anointed somebody on Monday evening for the last time at Northwick Park Hospital, for the last time, and I walked out, and the nurse told me she died an hour later. I gave her permission to die. I gave her permission to die. This is the things that we must chase after, because you are so distracted with the wrong things. Mary hastens after Elizabeth. This word hasten comes again. Do you remember? The angels come to the shepherds on the hillside, and they hear the great news of tidings of a great joy. And they were overwhelmed with joy. And what does the book say? It says they went to the manger with haste. They were desperate to get there, to see this thing. With haste they went. With haste. Hasten after these things, can you? Please, as we go to Christmas, hasten after these things. And forgive yourself for all the wrong distraction, of the things that preoccupy your heart that will mean nothing in the end. Haste, hasten, chase after it. The word comes again, hasten. It comes in the story of Zacchaeus. He's up a tree. He's heard the good news about Jesus, and he wants to see him, and he's small in stature, and he's looking for him. And Jesus spots Zacchaeus, and he says to Zacchaeus, "Hasten down from the tree. Hasten down. I'm coming to your house with haste." Wonderful. Hasten down from the tree. I'm coming to your house with haste, the book says. He goes to Zacchaeus' house. And he says this powerful word for us all this Christmas. Salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to this house. So if you want salvation in your house, your home, your family, whoever you're connected with, if you want salvation, if you want hope there today, hasten to this story, will you? Hasten it, chase after it. To finish, there is the travail. Stay with the travail. It's real. But there is hope. There is still light. The darkness will not overcome it. Stay with the travail, whatever that might be for you today. But also hasten to this place. Because here, ultimately, all of us, if we knew it, salvation comes to our house through it. Wonderful. Amen. Take the readings today. Go back to the book and read these things. It's our salvation.